We're back to the Neil Haley Show and also the Media Giant Effect. And, you know, I've only interviewed a few people on Clubhouse. One was in person, done a few Zooms. Now I'm trying to catch up with people because I am too busy to be on Clubhouse. I grew a huge following, just like my guest did, Jeff McCallum. Jeff, thanks, entrepreneur. Thanks for stopping by, man. Entrepreneur, multiple businesses, success, and enjoying life now, Jeff. And now talking more about Jeff McCallum than your businesses, right?
Yeah, thank you, man, for having me on. It's a lot of fun. I love talking about picking apart success, what makes a person. I always think of several people that I've always read nonfiction books. I've always sharpened the axe. We've all, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Richard Branson was mentioned the other day, and I just get pumped when I hear Richard Branson because he's the guy that said, when the coffee tray is down on a jet, if you see a coffee stain, you got to ask yourself, do they service the engines? He was a people guy. He's always been like, he's always looked after his employees. I always looked after my employees. I don't think I had anybody ever quit, or if they did get fired, they walked out happier they're fired. It's being tapped. Anyway, the keys to success for me, and especially when it comes to mentoring, where it's, live by your own rules. Don't wait for other people to tell you really how to do it. The other one is, a big one I live by is, would you rather be right or successful?
Okay.
And a lot of people don't understand that one. It's like, where do you want to draw the line? Are you going to win this battle and every battle when you open your mouth? If you're going to win every battle, you're finished. It's over. Everybody has something to offer to you. And even if you hear it several times, it took me a long time to learn how to listen,
Right, exactly.
And I was not. But after a while, you start to find commonalities with people. People are all the same. We all have a struggle. We all have these different, I guess, what is it? We're all trying to get up Maslow's hierarchy of needs. We're all trying to get to self-actualization. Some have their needs met with, a job and a house. And think about it. Every generation that I know of, the parents go get a job, like your
Yeah.
big brother Bob type thing, right? Learn how to balance a checkbook. That ages me right there. Checkbook. What's that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't
So
know.
now and then this the thing is, tell us about your successful businesses that you're now before that you've grown so that people understand. And then we're going to talk about the power of mentoring. My mentor was GJ Reynolds, who's co-owner of Women of Faith. He's a millionaire from Visalis. He was one of the original equity owners of Visalis. And I learned so much about surrounding myself with the right people. He always taught me that. And I never thought of it. I was an educator and teacher at that time, never thought, entrepreneurship, never. And now that's what I want to do the rest of my life. And say, I enjoy it. I want to grow. And I every day I'm just motivated to keep learning. But tell us about the power of mentorship. First, tell us about success of your businesses and then mentorship.
Well, I think it was hand in hand right from the first employee I had. So I had a restoration company, fire and flood restoration company. This was in the early 90s when that industry was, no one knew what restoration really was. You in the US, it was probably a little bit fat. Canada, what are they? They just hire somebody to extract water out of a basement. I followed the growth of that business, and I was lucky, but I stayed on it, always bought, the latest, greatest, and always educated myself. And it was, while I had, starting from one employee to, it's crazy. If you care about your employees and you care about the growth of them, and I hate to say it, but motivation is holding that carrot in front of somebody. But we all want hope.
Yeah.
Preachers pound the pulpit, go, we're going to give you hope, right? Anyway, I just ha I had I think they knew my I guess passion. They knew that I was always passionate about business, always want to do things my way. Anyhow, I took that business from one van, 1991, to several locations and a lot of employees. And of course, there was attrition going through employees and so forth. And then we took that company and separated it and made did a hazardous material company. And that company more than quadrupled in the 8 years that we took it out. During that process as well, I had a business partner, Bob Burnham, who was part of the restoration early on, complete different story. He was a franchisor years ago, guy from Ontario, advertising guy, super guy. We've done a lot together, known each other 30 plus years. And when we started expertauthorpublishing.com, that was in the 90s when everybody had to have a book, right?
Okay.
So even now, that company's got th several thousand titles under it. But I sold out to him like 8 years ago. We wrote those books, but I'm off track a little bit, but just a different bit. We had another franchise company. We've always done
What's the other
something.
franchise company? I'm just intrigued
Well, it
by
was
it.
burnmac.com, and it was like a painting carpet cleaning franchises that we were selling, and we learned everything that had to do with franchising. It was a lot of fun. So it was learning. You think about it, the information that entrepreneurs have now are just, it's so plentiful. You want to raise some cash, there's easy ways. We're bootstrapping everything. Or with selling franchises, you're getting money from people and then you're getting them, give them a free lease on the van for a year, that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
It's
well,
another story.
you definitely chose two industries that are definitely recession-proof, involving the restoration companies and the hazard industry.
Yes.
There's
Yeah,
so much
COVID.
need, because one of my clients is ServPro of Southern Butler, so I understand ServPro really well, and I've worked in that and understand that industry. And it's big. It's a lot of work because you're like 24/7, and you got to be on it with the team, but you got to be there, boots on the ground. That's
And
it's not.
that's that mentality of even my wife bugs me sometimes. Like, I'm always 12 steps ahead of everybody in my mind, because when you have to be 12 steps ahead of somebody in the restoration world because it's insurance, and they're going to phone you and go, "Where's this and where's that?"
If
The
you don't beat
homeowner
it,
we're
some other
talking.
company's going to be there to take your spot. And if it's hazardous material, same deal. And then
Well,
the
most people are traumatized. Think about it, unscheduled events in their homes. That's why it sharpened. So I will say that, yes, I had a restoration company. Yes, we did the hazardous material, but it was a vehicle for me to be who I am today in terms of customer service. Was and I had guys, white shirts, tie, black pants, uniform, clean, tidy trucks, the whole night. I was, lack of a better term, anal retentive about that. Now, people know me for clean shop. They know me for clean. Anyway, it was a vehicle for me to get to the next level every time. The publishing company was, we read enough nonfiction and business books that we found that all the seminars we were attending in the US way back in the 90s, where, oh, here's my
everyone needed
book.
a book at that time. It was the
You
perfect
need, so
time to be in
we're
it.
like, but well, we didn't want to be those market. We just wanted to market to people that, oh, you've got a book, you're halfway through a book, oh, you have an idea, we can help you. At the end of it, you will have books, not 2,000 books in your garage either. It was the early Amazon, when nobody knew how to publish on Amazon. Now you can get one done in a week. You can get 15 if you
Yeah,
want.
so you were definitely at the right place, right time in that, for sure.
Yes. So it was always that when you think of mentoring, it's interesting, because any businesses, especially franchises, when you get somebody that invests money with you, it's like they'll phone you up on a Monday because Friday they're all pumped and ready to go, but you have to remotivate them on Monday, because some are entrepreneurs and some aren't. People that call themselves entrepreneurs, they're not really necessarily entrepreneurs. Sometimes you buy a franchise, you're buying somebody else's idea, and it's kind of, you bought a job, unless you want to take that and expand it. I don't want to be too hard on that word entrepreneur, but I know
But
that
definitely a franchise is success. You make a lot of money in a franchise. You own it almost, except you're giving some of it away. But ultimately, you're already getting a brand. You're already
but you're
getting a
paying for the
proven.
motivation too. It's like, you got to bring a guy down to ground zero Monday morning before you can even implement a new idea in his head. You had to motivate. How you doing? It's Monday morning. How are you guys ready for the business meeting as well? I had a rough weekend. And people are people, man. Life happens. And I probably, so you want, when you start to understand people, like, listen, man, social work and even employees that were laborers in the restoration world, they were social workers. They weren't flood techs. They weren't fire techs. They weren't carpenters. They were so, I'm going to do some baseboard in your house. Meanwhile, she's crying. Anyway, so we had a magnifying glass on us all the time, and it really upped my game. And I came from a family. My dad was Navy, and he was a very compassionate man. And he'd always discipline you, but he always explained why. And it's just like when I had a hard time firing people because I wanted the best for them. And do you know who Jimmy Pattison is?
No, I know.
Jimmy Pattison is probably the richest guy in Canada. One of the He owns like save on he look him up. So anyway, he had a car dealership, and every month in Vancouver, every month he'd fire the lowest man on the totem pole in terms of sales. And he would always say, that's not, I'm letting you go because it's not your time. I always thought of that one. Anytime I'm letting somebody go, it's like, it's just not your time. You're a really good person, but it's not your time. It's just these little things along the way you pick up. But that back to mentoring and would you rather be right or successful? That one's big because if you look at even today's society, everybody's trying to be right and cram something down your throat. I think that,
You'd rather be successful. So the word is be successful before right. Is that
yeah,
correct?
like what is, and what does that even mean? Means take a step back, breathe, realize where you're at in this conversation. Where are you at financially? Where are
Yeah.
you at? Like
No,
everybody wants.
that's absolutely. So, and the thing is that a lot of times, Zig Ziglar said, give them what they want. You want to give what they, if you're not giving them what they want, then you're not going to get what you want in so many ways. So it's the thing is, we have to figure out what people want. We always want to say we know what they want. We got to ask them. We got to figure out them. And that's the key thing in success in business. And you definitely figured it out with service base and all those things. What would you say right now? What's the best bet for an entrepreneur business owner today to start? What would you say?
Well, to what type of business? Well, this is a bigger conversation because people will say to me, a friend of mine, he's a developer and he's into real estate. Well, how do I get into real estate? Well, listen, hang on, buddy. We got to sit down, see where you are financially, see where you are with your finances, if you're open to it, or are you going to get defensive? That's a really loaded question. Service industry. It depends again on your education too, but I find that there's so many great businesses that could be started tomorrow. I have a friend, for example, he's got a vent cleaning company, huge franchise now, mammoth. So it's about the business of the franchising and of the it's not the actual nitty-gritty work. Yeah, he knows how to clean furnaces out, but it's a big business. No one wants to start those ugly businesses, but they make a fortune. You've seen the show on
I already, what did you say?
CNBC. Oh, there's a show on CNBC. It's called Blue Collar Millionaire. I love that show. It
You're
used to.
so right that those businesses, the restoration business, the plumbing business, the HVAC business, all of these, the HV, they're all truly opportunities and profiting.
And you know what? I got to interrupt here. It's because I have a bone to pick. And the bone is this: it's everybody goes on Instagram, Clubhouse, everything, and everything is branding. I should be an entrepreneur. I should be into branding and entrepreneur brand. No, not everybody is created that way. It's like it's okay to be an employee. It's okay to go work for somebody else. It's a let's make that okay for everybody so that they don't chase something for. Listen, man, when you get the seed of nonfiction planted in you. First time you go to a Tony Robbins seminar, you have religion. So first time you go to a marketing, you run to the back of the room, you buy everything.
But they
Man,
don't do it. They don't. First time they start a podcast, I've done over 9,000 plus interviews, Jeff. I mean, no one's going to catch me, right? Or more. And I did 20
no,
last
but
week.
that's your passion and you
Yeah.
recognize it. It's like, I don't know, because sometimes it now my bone to pick back to this is like people go on Instagram and they see what other people have and they go, I got to do this and I got to do that. No, you don't. You know something? We wrote a quote, Bob and I, third of a page when we started in the business. And it was something I have it here somewhere, but I actually pulled it out during Clubhouse and it said, I want to make $1 million in an easy and relaxed manner for the good of all and whoever holds this intention. And I put that million, and when we made that million, Bob and I, when we wrote that out, and I had that in my leather day timer for years. And only till Clubhouse did I actually pull it out. And I realized I had scratched out that and put five. And I did that in 20, I think 15 or something, put it back in my book. And only when I started going on Clubhouse and speaking about, because people would say, hey, have you read this book? And I'd pull it off the shelf and go, yeah, what are you talking about? I always sounded like I was smart because I read the book. And a lot of times my business partner had read the book and we chewed it up all the time. We talked a lot. So he mentored me, I mentored him. He gave me a testimony the other day on my website. He goes, Jeff's been my mentor since 91. And I thought it was the opposite. Because if you think about it, you Dan Kennedy, Joel
Truly. And
Pollack.
I mentioned G.J. Reynolds. I have other mentors and I have one really important in my life mentor now. And the bottom line, Jeff, is that if we're not willing to listen, you and I, to other people that are more brilliant than us and understand things more or a lot more knowledgeable or might have more expertise, and we're like, I got this, we're not going to get it. We're not going to be successful. We have to surround ourselves with people as mentors who say, okay, let me listen to them. Let me take this. And sometimes the advice is wrong, but let me listen to this. And if they're willing to take me under their wing, I'm not going to say, oh, I'm not going to just poo-poo it and say, I'm out. No, let me reflect. Let me look at this. Let me put this into a plan, see if this works for me. And if this does, wow. And you're right, that back and forth, isn't it amazing, Jeff? When you can have a back and forth with somebody, like I did with GJ, or what I did with other people on the road, or and even when I was a professional wrestler, you take that information for life and use it every day in your business. It's the
Yeah,
bottom
listen,
line.
Bob and I, if Bob and I, I'm telling you, right back from the first book, Wealthy Barber, right back to Kiyosaki, and right back to Tony Robbins, his first book. And when you get that religion, it's hard to get that out of you. It's hard to get that, I've always got to be growing. If you're that type of person and you can channel it properly, you're going to do well. But if you're doing it because there's a hype behind it and you see the cars and the money and the content, you're it takes, I don't know, but back to the mentoring for a second here. I think mentoring for I just want to be brutally honest with people too. Like I'm mentoring a guy right now, and 3 weeks later he calls me and he goes, I think you're right. He fought me a little bit on he wants to do this, and meanwhile you're starving. Listen, man, you got it. When you're starving, you got to do something. Nowadays, a lot of people get misguided by, I should be online making money. And by the way, I should be online making money. And I can't take this job because I should be online making money. Well, no. Like you got to put food on the table. And anyway, I'm taking it, I'm getting a little bit carried away here, but
Definitely, we'll have to have a part two. I love this information. Where can people go, Jeff? Best place.
I've just set up a website a while ago, jeffmccallum.com.
Well, Jeff, I'm shocked because, again, that's what happens in Clubhouse. We don't know about each other unless we read a bio, and sometimes our bios are a bunch of really not who we are. I got to know you, and I'm like, wow. And this is he's hit something really quickly. If you have the money to invest and you want a business going to profit, you really got to talk to someone like a Jeff or have some conversations with different people, but you got to put the work in. The bottom line is, if people think they're going to be successful, six, seven, eight figures or more in business, they better be willing to work. They're not going to be able to work for it. It's not going to come overnight. It's not going to be easy. And it's going to, and they're crazy to think the people behind the scenes aren't putting work in the long days for sure, Jeff.
Yeah, man. L listen, when I got accountants in 2014 and I went to Italy for a month, they changed my life, a good accountant. Like if we're talking master strategists. You know why the rich get richer? Is because they know they should have trust, a holding company.
Kiyosaki talks about that. Robert's been on my show three times. I appreciate it, Jeff. Thanks for getting
Anyway.
stopped by. All right, you're listening and watching the Neil Haley Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.